Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Last month, I spoke to people around St. Albans about their views on Michael Gove's suggested plastic bottle deposit scheme. And they were all concerned, if you remember, about the amount of plastic entering the environment, and on the whole, they supported the scheme as a way of encouraging us to recycle more plastic or indeed avoid using it at all. But is plastic all bad? A number of you got in touch asking to hear from someone within the plastics industry to see if there was another side to the story. So, David Hicks, he lives in St. Albans and he works supplying different companies with different sorts of materials, and one of those materials is plastic. So he sees different plastics alongside other materials as well, which gives him a unique point of view. Now, whilst he can't talk for the whole of the plastics industry or even for the company he works for, he kindly agreed to come into the studio and share his views. David, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, are you irritated when you hear plastic being constantly vilified?
In short, yes. I'm irritated because we have to separate the material from people's behaviour.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, isn't it? It's not the plastic that's bad, it's what we do with it that's bad, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that's, you know, the one of the issues for all of us is the use of, or the responsible use of plastic products in our daily lives, how we deal with them once we finish with them, and the, obviously following the mantra of reducing, reusing, recycling, and for the industry, whether you can then recover the energy from those things where you can't recycle.
Yeah. I mean, at the minute, we recycle about 59% of our plastic, something like that. Do you think we should be recycling more?
Absolutely. I think anything that ends up in landfill is an outrage.
Yeah.
And it's just a waste of a resource.
Yeah.
All these materials can be recycled and reused. And in those areas where there isn't an economic solution to recycle, there are solutions also to recover at least the energy without there being an environmentally really impactful way of recovering the energy also.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that seems to be difficult about recycling is just the sheer number of different kinds of plastics. Do you think that's a good thing, or do you think we should try and simplify that a bit so that the recycling process can be easier?
Well, that's a really good question, because on one hand, the materials... each material has a specific function.
Right.
Whether this is oxygen barriers in packaging to extend the shelf life, whether it's foamed plastics in order to reduce the weight so that you don't use as much energy to transport and that they have impact resistance so they don't shatter when you drop them. But on the other hand, as you say, once they finish their useful life, we then need to separate them out so that they can be effectively collected and recycled and reused to what they call nowadays upcycling, trying to get the maximum value and the highest function from the products once they've been used the first time around.
Okay, so when plastics are recycled, so you know, sometimes we see, I don't know, park benches or something made out of recycled plastic, and it seems like the plastic is now being used for a lower quality purpose. Can plastic be recycled so it can be used again and again and again, like glass can, or is it more like paper that the quality of it gradually decreases?
Well, plastics are basically, you know, the definition of a plastic is actually something that flows.
Right.
What in the industry we call our polymers. So basically, imagine links in a chain like a necklace. Each one is linked together and you know, these polymers are these long, long links of special chemicals.
Yeah.
When they're heated, when they're used and processed and cooled, they're deformed.
Right.
When they're chopped up and heated again, these chains are again chopped up and broken down.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why it's quite difficult to return them back to kind of exactly the same types of material use they were originally. There are lots of clever people that are now doing that. So, for example, if you think about the PET bottles that we use and collect, much of that now is being rechipped and put through these special, what they call super cleaning machines, and can be reused in 100% virgin food packaging.
Right. Okay. So that really can go on in a sort of ever sustainable cycle.
Indeed. Yeah. So there's something like last time I looked, there's about a little under 500,000 tons of PVC windows.
Yes.
That are being, when they're taken out of people's homes, are chopped up and again reused. A lot of which are then going to certain elements of new PVC windows.
Wow. Yeah.
So this.
The idea of being able to having a sustainable plastics industry, one where old plastics are being able to be turned again and again into new plastics, is this something that people in the plastics industry are sort of working towards? Is this the a concern for them as well?
Absolutely, it is an absolute hot topic. The what they call the end of life cycle and the reuse. So there are many directives. In the industry, and particularly from people like the car manufacturers, other kind of consumer goods products, that once that product is used, electronic goods particularly, once those goods have been used, they are dismantled, and wherever possible, that those components are reused into the supply chain again.
Okay, and is the driver for that? Is it regulation? Is it sort of ecological concerns, or is it a cost concern?
I think it's ecological. I think, obviously, where regulations require that, then the industry has to respond.
Yeah.
And, of course, the complexity, whenever you have to reuse a product, you have to effectively develop, to some extent, a new industry, an industry that's able to dismantle a fridge, dismantle a car, separate all these components with materials or lots and lots of labor, reuse them, reprocess them, and somehow re-enter the supply chain.
Yeah. So it sounds like this process will cost money, but sounds also like this is making jobs as well.
Yes, it does.
You know, it, as you say, it's a sort of a new industry out there. So it sounds like within the plastics industry, there are definite moves to make plastic into a properly sustainable product. But plastics do, even in their current form, even if we're not recycling it, they do allow us to be more sustainable, don't they? Do you want to just talk a little bit about the way in which plastics actually help us to be a bit more environmentally friendly?
Okay, so let's think of a few examples. So, for example, one of the things that we're interested in is the use of these special resins in multi-layer structures. So if you think about a car, a car now contains more and more plastic materials.
It does, yes.
So in the old days, your fuel tank used to be made of steel. The pipelines would be made of steel. The car would be incredibly heavy.
Yes.
Nowadays, they're all made of polypropylene, and within it, there's all these multi-layer structures, which means that the gas fumes don't go out and exude everywhere. But it means the components are far, far lighter.
Yes.
It means the cars have greater fuel efficiency.
Right, yeah. I suppose there's lots of places actually where plastic has, for instance, replaced things like glass, which, as you say, is heavier. So, again, you know, any kind of transportation of things that are heavy use lots of energy, doesn't it?
I think
the plastic is much lighter and therefore involves lots less carbon just to get it around the place, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's one study I read which suggested that these flexible packaging, or using even just polystyrene yogurt pots instead of using glass for a similar thing, would reduce the amount of energy to transport it by something like 40%.
Yeah.
So again, it's fewer trucks on the road, fewer emissions in that sense.
Yes. You also mentioned packaging that that kept oxygen away from food. So what's the effect that has?
Last time I looked, there's something like 6.5 million tons of food waste that we throw away every year.
Yeah.
Which is...
We've talked about...
Now, one of the things that can help is if you can prolong shelf life, if you can have packaging which protects the food so that it doesn't get spoiled in transportation, there's less and less wasted in the supply chain. Hopefully, there's less and less wasted on your shelf or in your fridge.
Yeah.
So if you can have special resins which prevent oxygen ingress and therefore the food going off,
yes,
it becomes much more usable for longer.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think that, again, the last time I looked, actually, although we do waste and don't recycle lots of plastic, actually the amount of food we waste is, even now, enormous. So if plastics are helping us with that,
that's
a good thing. And of course, all the food has got a carbon footprint, hasn't it? It's not just, you know, nasty, smelly or whatever. It is a big environmental, big climate change issue as well. So,
and okay, it's only a component of that. Again, it's part of this issue of how do we change people's behaviours?
Yes, yeah. So presumably you would like to see us recycling more plastics. Do you think that council provision is sufficient for us to recycle plastics, or would you like to see even more there?
It may seem a bit odd for someone that is involved in the supply of these materials, but I'd actually like to see people use less and less plastics.
Right.
But those plastics become more and more functional.
Okay.
So that you have less material, but they have greater function. So stronger, longer lasting, greater recyclability, because that means you have more of a sustainable business. You have a more of a sustainable activity.
Yeah.
And these materials are in the, you know, in... I've lost the thread here. They're more sustainable, and therefore,
yes,
they will be used far more. So, right, in the sense of the substitution of tin cans or glass to these stand-up pouches,
yes,
for sauces, for other food,
right,
where these materials can be recycled, where they have lighter weighting and lower cost and more convenience for the consumer,
yes,
these brand holders, the people that make the goods, make the food, will switch to these materials.
Right.
Now, the question of recycling, absolutely, they must be recycled. There is...
So do you think that as packaging is developed, actually that end of life, or hopefully not end of life, that, you know, sort of continued life should be all part of the development process?
They are. I mean, again, this is something that you wouldn't see, but a packet of cheese or a ham slice, the film at the top,
yes,
could be anything up to 9 layers, one of which will be a layer of recyclate.
Right.
The package itself might be 100% recycled or 50% recycled.
Okay.
All of these materials have already a recyclate included in them.
Right. Okay. So we don't even appreciate that we're already using lots of recycled plastic. That, you know, the things that we are putting into our council collections, they are all finding their way back to us and they are circulating around. So there's lots of really good stuff happening at the moment. Now, you've mentioned the way in which the plastics industry is thinking differently, trying to make things more recyclable, for example. There's other things that they're doing. So you mentioned earlier to me that you've just been to a conference and that the plastic microbeads have now been banned. Do you think that was the right decision?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's, again, any material that doesn't serve a useful function in society should not be used.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
That's a bit...
Okay.
You know, if microbeads... The impact on the environment is far worse than the contribution to society, in my opinion.
Right, okay.
So they have no...
Yeah. Do you think there's any other uses for plastics that should be banned?
Single-use carrier bags.
Single-use carrier bags.
I think that is a huge... It's a funny old thing that just the gentle encouragement, the nudge factor of asking someone to pay 5 pence for a carrier bag...
Yeah.
Was a wonderful thing. The fact that it reduced carrier bag use, single-use carrier bag use by whatever it was, I think 70%, saved tens and tens of thousands of tons of bags, which clearly we do not need.
Yeah. And they're particularly damaging, actually, of plastic carrier bags, aren't they? This blowing thing, you know, carrying on the wind, which means that they really do get into the environment all over the place.
And I think this is the point. Charging for something, even the most token amount...
Yes.
changes people's perspectives on what that thing is and the value of that thing.
Yes.
And therefore it becomes lesser a product to discard without thinking, and now becomes something that you need to look after a little bit.
Yes. It attaches the proper value to something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which brings me neatly to my last question to you, David, and that is, do you think that a return and reward scheme for plastic bottles is a good idea?
It can't hurt, so why not try?
Excellent. David, thank you very much indeed for coming and sharing your views.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was David Hicks, who works in the plastics and materials industry and kindly came to share his views on plastics and the way in which we use them. And David left me with a final thought. He suggested that if when we're buying products, if we buy something that we think should have less plastic packaging, then we should drop a quick email to the supermarket or shop or supplier of the product and tell them. As David said, he said the customers' views are the ones that matters. They really do make a difference. So, you know, if whilst you're out buying things for Christmas, if you find something, particularly something that you really want to buy and it's got too much packaging on it, just that quick email to show that you will be more likely to buy the product, you like it better with less packaging. Excellent. Right now, you'll remember that registration is now open for events for Sustainable St. Albans Week so that your group can run an event 21st to the 29th of April next year. And the call has now gone out for speakers at the One Planet event that will kick the week off at Rothamsted Research. They're not necessarily looking for practice speakers, just people with interesting ideas. So if you take a look at the environment pages of the Radio Verulam website, there's all the information for you there. So that's about all for this week. Until the same time next week, thank you for listening.